We have one piece in Esh Kodesh on page Chaf Aleph, in the year Tafshin, end of 1939. And the Rebbe is commenting on Yaakov Avinu's dream. Yaakov Avinu has his dream, and in his dream he sees a ladder, and it's reaching from the earth to the heavens, and he sees angels ascending and descending the ladder. And then the pasuk says, "V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav, v'yomer ani Hashem elokei Avram avicha velokei Yitzchak." What does Yaakov Avinu see in his dream? He sees that Hashem is standing by him, over him, next to him. And Hashem says, "I am the God of your father Avram, Yitzchak. And the land that you're lying on is going to be given to you and to your children. And not only that, they're going to expand themselves in the land." Right? And then Yaakov wakes up and he says, "Wow, what an awesome experience." But the Rebbe wants to know, what's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Nitzav Alav? Why is Hashem Nitzav Alav? So he quotes Rashi. Rashi says, Nitzav Alav L'Shamro. That Hashem is standing over Yaakov to watch over him. However, we all need Hashem's Shmira. We get that. Right? But the Rebbe, again, who really feels that he needs Hashem's Shmira, has the following question. V'tzarech lahavin. Ha'im lo dai b'malach min malachim ha'elu shishmireil? He has a dream. There's angels all around him. There's angels going up. There's angels going down. So Hashem couldn't send a malach to watch over Yaakov. It wouldn't have been sufficient. Hashem himself needs to, so to speak, stand by Yaakov Avinu. V'chein halo l'kavan. It says just a couple of psukim later, v'hinei anochi imach u'shmarticha b'chol asher teleich. It says that I'm going to provide for you, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to watch over you wherever you go. So why does Hashem can't watch from a distance? What's the Torah saying? Hashem is nitzav alav. Hashem is standing by him, watching over him. Hashem needs to come down from the heavens to earth in order to stand by your side, to be bodyguard for Yaakov. You know, Hashem can't protect Yaakov from a distance. Again, that's what he's saying. The pasuk says, two psukim later, that I'm going to be with you, I'm going to watch you wherever you go. So that means Hashem's going to be always by Yaakov Avinu's side, he's going to travel alongside him. Again, we're using funny terms because Hashem is always by our side, Hashem is everywhere, Hashem doesn't go from there to there, like a person moves from one place and relocates to a different place. But the point is, Vagam she'efshar u'shmarticha delekaman shmira ala derech, even though maybe the u'shmarticha, as the pasuk says, is the shmira when he travels, v'kan shmira la'osu alayla, and here is a different type of shmira for that night, but we call makom. Tzarech lahavin lama beiz shmiros. Why does Hashem need to provide a specific type of shmira while he's having this dream, with the angels going up and going down? V'lo shmira me'ata ad shi'ashuv. And then a different type of shmira as he travels around. It's almost like Hashem is saying, like, tonight I need to stand by your side and guard you in a unique way. And everybody wants to know, what's that about? What is this unique shmira that's taking place at this time? So to understand, it's a short piece, relatively short piece. You can see it's only 2 pages. The Rebbe says, we need to understand the nature of these angels that are going up and down the ladder. Who are these angels? What are these angels? What do they represent? Good angels, bad angels. What type of angels? The Efshar, says the Rebbe in the second paragraph, Kinoda Chadeya, we know that one opinion in the Medrash tells us, Shemalachim Elu Sarei Ha'umos Hayu Sha'alu V'yardu. The angels were the ministering angels of the nations that are ascending and descending. Look at footnote 1. Hine Malachei Elohim Olim V'yardim Bo. Olim Shnayim V'yardim Shnayim. Elu Sarei Arba Malchios Shal Shiltonosan Gomeres V'hen. Olim is plural, that means two. Yardim, That means two. 2 plus 2 is 4. Oh! 4 angels. 4 ministering angels. The 4 angels, the angelic embodiment of the 4 nations that represent the exile of Jewish history. Okay. So what does it mean that they're Olam V'Yardim? So the Rebbe says, L'chein, Kishenase Hizgaros Ben Hasar. If the angels are sort of grappling for position on the ladder, some going up and some going down, it sounds like what? Another way to say that would be World War II. Right? Angels vying for position. Nations. Not, and again, the Rebbe's saying, I'm not addressing the nations as manifest in bodily form in this world. I'm talking about the shoresh of those nations, right? The spiritual roots of those nations. Right? What's really happening on a cosmic level, on a metaphysical level. Right? So the angels are grappling for position. And therefore, what happens when the nations of the world are kind of fighting? Who often gets stuck in the middle? The Jewish people. Seems like somehow we're always, you know, we get pulled in. Right? Somehow all the fighting, all of the happenings of the world, whether overtly or more subtly, it all really surrounds, you know, what do we do with the Jews? Are the Jews good for the world? Are the Jews bad for the world? So as the angels are Olam V'Yardim, Zeh Ola Umapil Azeh, this one goes up and knocks down that one, V'Zeh Lehefech, and then the other one fights back. So Nebuch, the poor Jewish people, say, we don't want to be a part of any of this. Whose side do you want? We don't want to be on anyone's side. We're on God's side. I don't know. Why are you dragging us into your wars? Leave us alone. Azarech isha Yisraeli rachmei shamayim kol kach atchashem ba'atzmo nitzav alav l'shamro. That at a time where the world is raging, again, the reality is because the Jewish people in a certain sense are the epicenter of reality. Hashem created the world b'shvil Yisrael, b'reishis b'shvil Yisrael shenikareishis. So somehow we're always makusher to what's going on. And therefore, when the nations get really feisty, who's going to feel it the most? Even if we seem to be like an indirect part of what's really happening here, the Jewish people. So we need a shmira, miuchedes, we need a unique type of protection, rachmei shamayim, says the Rebbe, that Hashem needs to stand by our side. We can't have angelic protection. And then we're just part of the fight. Then it's your angel versus my angel. I wrote down the nekudos and I still don't know how to read the pasuk. Shemos chav gimel chav aleph. It says, the pasuk says in Mishpatim, Hashem says, I'm going to send a malach to guide you. Be careful to listen to the malach. Make sure you behave yourself. Ki lo yisa lefish achem. Yeah, lefish achem. Well, that's what I did wrong. Yeah. That makes more sense. It's good to know how to pronounce Pesukim. It's not geschmack to butcher Pesukim. Ki lo yisa lefish achem. Right? The malach will not yisa, will not carry, will not bear your what? Your pesha. Your rebelliousness. Malachim are not so tolerant of our behavior. So if Hashem sends a malach to lead us, the malach says, like, listen, you Jews better behave or you're in big trouble. But Hashem Baruch Hu has endless rachmei shamayim. Hashem is endlessly merciful, and therefore, Hu yisbarach rachamim rabim hu. Hashem Baruch Hu has endless mercy, and therefore, Hashem Baruch Hu says to Yaakov Avinu, as the angels are fighting, I'm not just going to leave you as one of the angels. I'm not just going to leave you with a malach to watch over you. I'm going to stand by your side, and I'm going to protect you. And more than that. Says the pasuk. Let's go back to the pasuk. What did the pasuk say at the top? Vinei Hashem nitzav alav, v'yomer ani Hashem elokei Avram avicha velokei Yitzchak. Why is he saying I am the God of Avram? I'm the God of Yitzchak. Says the Rebbe. V'amar lo, Hashem says to him, ani elokei Avram avicha. What that means is afil kishachas v'chalila, ein lecha zuchus mi'atzmacha. Even if you don't have your own merit, right? Even if it's a question of, well, you know, why should I be your God if you're not my loyal subject? So even when chas v'chalila, a person doesn't have his own merit, v'lo uchal od lomar lecha anochi Hashem elokecha, and about such a person it cannot be said, or Hashem does not say to that person, I am Hashem your God, rak elokei avicha, zuchus avosecha bilvad, if you only have zuchus avos, Nonetheless, Gamke Nitzav Alav Leshama. So this is a very powerful moment in Jewish history. Yaakov Avinu is dreaming about the entirety of, you know, the exile experience, as he himself is being exiled, as he's leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laaretz. And he's recognizing the fact that there's going to be many warring nations that are, again, trying to position themselves on that ladder of life. And Hashem is going to stand by our side. And there's going to be times that Hashem stands by our side even when what? Even when we're not worthy. Even when our only schus is that I'm a descendant of Avram and Yitzchak. Okay? So that's sort of what the Rebbe is saying. The Rebbe is saying, again, this is a tefillah. The Rebbe is saying there's a lot of world powers raging around us, fighting for position. The Jewish people, lo aleinu, are getting sandwiched in the middle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have rachmanis on us. And if you'll say back to me, Hashem, that we're not worthy of your rachmanis, well, that's the whole point here. Hashem nitzav alav. It's not just an angel by Yaakov Avinu's side. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself standing by his side. Okay? Now, says the Rebbe, if you're paying close attention, you'll notice something else in the pasuk. We're in these two psukim, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Right? Pasuk Yud Gimel, where Vayomer Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha, and then Pasuk Tesvav, where it says Vinei Anochi Imach. Says the Rebbe in the bottom paragraph on page Chaf Aleph, Vinei Kan Maschila Kosuv Ani Hashem, VaAcher Kach Kosuv Anochi Imach. Pasuk Yud Gimel says, I am Hashem, the God of Avram, your father. Pasuk Tezvav says, Vihinei Anochi, what? Anochi Imach. Anochi Imach. Vihinei Anochi Imach. So the Rebbe says, what's the difference between Ani and Anochi? What's the difference between Ani and Anochi? Ki achiluk bein Ani la Anochi hu achaf. The difference between Ani and Anochi, well, what do you think I'm thinking? No, what do you think I'm thinking? Oh, okay. I'm thinking a couple things. I'm just curious what you think I'm thinking. Part of the fun game, yeah.
Shouldn't we be focusing on the translation of what they mean now?
Well, Anochi and Ani both mean I, right? Ani Hashem Elokecha, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's hard to translate a difference between Ani and Anochi.
The second half, meaning, it sounds like the first one is like I'm the God of Abraham, your father, and the second one seems more like.
But that's because it says Elokei. That's because it says Elokei. Okay. No, and Jack's saying, look at the context. Meaning, the first one is Ani with regard to your chus avos, but Anochi imach, right, to you. Okay, so you can see it's not a transitive folk, but that's not fair. You're not looking at Ani versus Anochi, you're looking at the context of the pasuk, which again might shed light on what Ani versus Anochi is. So you can see it's saying, no, Ani, right, means I in a general sense. Anochi, right, means I am, right, I am the capital.
I mean, I could be totally wrong.
Well, that's what the Rebbe is saying. The Rebbe is saying the difference between Ani and Anochi is the letter Kaf. And he's going to explain what the letter Kaf represents. Right. And that's going to help us to understand the difference between Ani and Anochi. But what's geschmack here is that, again, you know, I don't know, I'm getting into Hanukkah mode, so Hanukkah wheels are turning. Right? When Yaakov, what's this week's parsha? Vayetze? What comes after Vayetze? Vayishlach. So when Yaakov gets into a fight with Sarah Shal Esav in next week's parsha, and the Malach, right, waging battle against Yaakov, realizes he can't beat him, what does he do? He hits him where? He hits him where? In the Kaf Yerech. In the Kaf Yerech. He hits him in the Chaf. He hits him in the Kaf Yerech. Really, the socket of the thigh. Right? But sort of this idea of, you know, are you an Ani person or are you an Anochi person is part of that fight with Sarah Shal Esau. Right? The Kaf. He hits him in the Kaf. What did he go back for? Why did Yaakov go back across the river? He went to get a Pach. Right? Pach is Kaf backwards. Back for Pachim Katanim, which has a lot to do with the Pach Shemen of Hanukkah. A lot to do with a lot of things.
Where was the Sarshal of Israel at this time?
Good question. There's a lot of Hanukkah stuff going on here. V'hinei Anochi Imach. I don't know.
If they knew they wouldn't have enough oil, why didn't they just like say, pass off the generation, or say, you know, you're not going to have enough oil, make sure you have
Yaakov went back to get the Pachshon, the Pachon Ketanim. Okay, not for now. But just, it's interesting that the letter Chaf is a letter that might have a lot to do with Chanukah. Okay, but let's go weiter. So it says there, what's the difference between Ani and Anochi? Again, the letter Chaf. What does that mean, the letter Chaf? Isa b'Gemara Shabbos Kofheim et Aleph, a beautiful and famous Gemara. The Gemara says that Anochi, according to one opinion, is no trikon, is Rashi Tevos, it stands for something, it's an acronym. It stands for Ana Nafshi Ksavis Yahavis, which means I, Nafshi, myself, Kisavis, wrote it, and Yahavis, and gave it. In other words, when you have the Torah, Hashem wrote the Torah and gave it to the Jewish people. That's the Pasha Pshat. The Hasidic Pshat, Balatani explains it, another tzaddikim, Ana Nafshi, not just I, myself, wrote it and gave it, right? Meaning it's a copy written by God himself. But no. I wrote myself down and gave myself to you. Right? Not just I am the author and I gave you my manuscript. But Ana Nafshi Kesavis, I wrote myself down. That's what the Torah is. The Torah is God in written form. That's why when we learn Torah, it's such a lofty experience. Because how else do you experience Hashem? How else do I make contact with Hashem? Using the Baal Tanya's famous mashal of hugging the king. Right? From Tanya Perek Dalet. I make contact with Hashem through the Torah. It's him himself. It's not his ideas. Right? Hashem is one with his ideas. So when I study the Torah, on a nafshi, I myself have been written down and been transmitted to you. But the point the Rebbe's trying to make, it's such a deep and brilliant point, the Rebbe's saying that the chaf of Anochi represents what? The ksav, the writing. Ana nafshi kisavis yahavis. Kisavis, the writing. So that means that ani, Anochi without the chaf, is what? Is below ksavis, is without the writing, so to speak. In other words, the difference between ani and Anochi is ksav versus speech, spoken versus written. Ki achiluk bein haksav, turn the page, lahadibor. So now let's think about that. If ani represents I as speech, and anochi represents the capital I, right, in written form, so what's the difference between speech and writing? What's the difference between dibor and ksiva? So the Rebbe says the difference is Shemash Shenichtav Nishar Gam Acher Sheosu HaPu'ula VaHadibur Rak B'Shosh Shemedabrim Shoymen. The words that are coming out of my mouth right now are temporary. You hear them for a moment and then they're gone. You can't hold on to them. You could try to mentally hold on to them. Maybe that's a form of writing. If you allow the words of the Esh Kodesh to be etched on your heart and on your soul, that's a form of writing. Right? But the written word, the words on the page, even after we pass over the sentence, it's still there on the page. It remains on the page. So dibur doesn't make the same type of roshem. It doesn't leave a mark. It doesn't have a permanence like ksiva. Ksiva is more lasting than dibur. V'hadibur rak b'shosh shemedabrim shomer. Right? Dibur is only present when it's being spoken. You want to say it now, Donnie? You want to say it later? Yeah. Yeah, what do you want to say?
88, 89.
What do you mean?
That's what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
Whatever.
No, what do you mean?
It's like, can you add one because of the word, whatever? Sin?
Well, pach is with a chaf. So pach would be 100.
But if it were
pach would be 100. Would be 100, yeah.
So, in terms of what we're saying about writing written in words, what is that what's that referring to?
Well, again, he's just setting it up that ani represents the spoken I, and anochi represents written. When he's saying speech, you say it and it disappears. When you write something, it remains. So we're about to see. We're not sure yet what he's going to do with that. So So says the Rebbe, Ve'efsher zeu gam, Ve'efsher zeu gam, lo kisha ani nichtav, ani nikra. We know the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that we don't pronounce Hashem's name. We don't say the name of Hashem the way that it's written. It's written Yod Kei Vav Kei. But we only say it. We only say it Aleph Dalet Nun Yod. Okay? We're not ready to say it the full way. If you look in footnote 2, the quote from Pesachim Daf Nun, Rabbi Avina Rami, Rabbi Avina contrasted the Pesukim. On the one hand, it says that you should call out in the name of Hashem. On the other hand, it says, Zeh Shemi Le'olam, V'zeh Zichri Le'dor Dor. So Chazal noticed that the way that Le'olam is spelled in the Torah is without a vav. It looks like it says Le'alem, which means to conceal. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Kesha Ani Nichtav Ani Nikra. That's Hashem's way of saying, I don't want you to say me the way that I'm written. Nichtav Ani B'yod Hei. I'm written with Yod and Hei. V'nikra Ani B'Aleph Dalet. But I'm written with Aleph Dalet. Okay? I'm enunciated. I'm spoken with Aleph Dalet. Right? Baruch Atah. Right? We say Aleph Dalet Nun Yod. We don't say Yod Kei Vav Kei. Okay, so interesting. So that means we sort of have this dual relationship with Hashem. Like, we know that Hashem is more, but we're only able to say it so much. We're not holding by ksiva yet. Uvebeis hamikdash amar hakohen kiksiva so. The Gemara in Sota tells us in Daf Lamed Ches that in the mikdash they would actually pronounce it yod and hey and vav and hey. They would say the letters the way that it's actually written. Why? Explains the Rebbe Mipnei sheisigu bekirba al yedei dibur asiya shel kedusha shenishara etzlam kiilu nichtav behem. The Rebbe says if you want to be able to say it the way it's written, then your speech has to be like ksiva. And we said the difference between speech and ksiva and writing is that speech is temporary and writing is lasting. So if your connection to Hashem is the last thing, if you're a Yid in Beis HaMikdash, right, if you're a Kohen in Beis HaMikdash, so then you're able to say the name of Hashem because to you Hashem is everlasting. Hashem is real. Hashem is something that leaves a mark. It's not something you just talk about and then move on. So in Beis HaMikdash, again, look at the words, Mipnei she'sigu bekirbam, because they understood inside of themselves that the Dibur is able to what? To make an Asiya Shel Kedusha. Their words matter. The whole context of Beis HaMikdash, you know, even outside the Beis HaMikdash, words that have a Shaychus to Beis, it's very interesting. Words that have a connection to Beis HaMikdash matter more. What do I mean by that? You point to a sheep and you say, this is a carbon. The sheep's transformed. Because the sheep is relevant to Avodas Beis HaMikdash, or I'm donating this Shender to Beis HaMikdash. It transforms the status of this Shender. So my dibur, right, specifically as it relates to in Yanei Mikdash, which is Lefnei Hashem, it's ke'ilu, it's written. Right? It was just words. I didn't write it down. I didn't make a commitment. No. Your words are lasting when a person realizes the presence of Hashem in that way. Lechein gam bedibur amru Hashem kechsavo, and therefore it was a place where speech and writing come together in Beis HaMikdash. So you can actually say the name of Hashem the way that it's written. It's very deep. Ki gam hadibur b'chinas ksiva haya. Because speech was like the written word in that place. Masha'ein keinata, but says the Rebbe, and this is again the challenge and the sadness of an exiled existence. This is the unfortunate reality that we've never said Hashem's name the real way, because we're disconnected from Hashem's essence. Right? A name is a person's essence. Hashem's name is also his essence. Why do you think Yaakov, when he's fighting that malach, at that critical moment, they're asking each other, what's your name? Hey, what's your name? Right? What's your name? The malach's like, why do you want to know my name? Why are you asking me my name? What's your name, Yaakov? Well, for now on, you're Yisrael. What's going on? Why are we busy with the names? The answer is because the name reveals something of a person's essence. So, unfortunately, in our exiled state, we're not able to really say Hashem's name the way it's written. We're not able to touch it at its essence. Because we're not holding in the place of ksiva. Ma she'ein ken ata she'ein hadibur b'chinas ksiva. Ki achar kach ha-kedusha nechlesh es banu. We say things, but then we quickly change our mind. Again, this is the Rebbe's way of saying, and we've seen it many times. It's becoming identifiably a theme in the way the Rebbe spoke to people. If you think you're going to make promises to God right now to save yourself in the Holocaust, and then you're going to go back to your old ways right afterwards, Hashem's not going to fall for it. We need more. We need transformation. We need real transformation. We need a person who's going to, like we learned last time, and Parshas told us, like a person who goes from Misa to Chaim, from death to life, that their whole life could have been taken away, and now they're alive, and therefore their thanks has to express that whole transformation. So the Rebbe is saying the same thing here. If you're just going to do Dibur with Hashem, then you're not going to be on the level of Ksiva, you're not going to have a lasting Yeshua. You'll have moments of salvation. But now we live in a world, says the Rebbe, unfortunately, where our speech is not like writing. We don't take our words as seriously as if it's the written word. Because the Kedusha, unfortunately, is Nechlashas Banu. It doesn't leave a mark the same way. It's supposed to, but unfortunately we're not in Beis HaMikdash. L'chein ein yecholim l'kro v'chinas k'siva. Therefore, we're not able to enunciate the name of Hashem in the way that it's written. Yeah. Right. So again, we see Rita Sadoros, a loss of ability to access that name.
Also, another question. I know there's Nekudos under Hashem's name inside the Torah. Is that the actual Nekudos, or are they like profound change that's a
I don't know. I think that, I don't know. I assume that's how it's supposed to be pronounced, but I don't know. Interesting thing. The actual name of Hashem, so foreign to us. To read it the way that it's written is so utterly foreign to us, yeah.
So I think it's on Yom Kippur or Tishuvah or something. In the Siddur I use, Hashem's name, it just doesn't have Nikudos ever, but like the one part of Davening, I think Yom Kippur or something, it does have Nikudos, so I'd always just pronounce Hashem's name the way it's written. Am I not supposed to?
Okay. You learned something now? Okay. I mean, in fancy Siddur, they have all sorts of different nekudos under Hashem's name, different kavanos. You know, for each brach of Shemona Esrei, you're supposed to think of a different nikud under Hashem's name, connected to that inner essence of that bracha.
Like instead of like the vav being a vav, it'll be a vav.
That's alakim.
What?
That's alakim. It has an nekudos alakim under it because it's supposed to be pronounced alakim.
Sometimes you have Hashem's name. It says like Hashem, yeah, it says like, you know, it looks like it says Hashem, Hashem twice in a row, but it's Hashem Elokim. So the kudos are right? If it's Elokim, if it's that Nikud under Yod Kei Vav Kei, then it's pronounced Elokim. So you have that sometimes in the Navi. Adonai Elohim. You have that sometimes. Yeah. Correct. But that's a good thing to know. You'll pay attention to the Haftorah more, and you'll notice that in the Navi we have that a lot. Hashem Elokim. You say, what? It doesn't say Elokim here. Oh, now I see. I only know that because it was my Bar Mitzvah Parsha's Emor, and the Haftorah happens to have one of those Hashem Elokim. That's where I first learned it. I mean, I hope I would have picked it up somewhere along the way by the time I got to 40, but that's where I first learned that idea. Yeah.
I once heard someone say that you're not allowed to say like Jay's witnesses, right? Some people say you shouldn't say right. Because
that's,
J is
yeah, the J person. Is yeah, exactly.
So are you not supposed to say it?
I don't think so. It's a little too close to Yod Kei Vav Kei.
You can't say Jay.
That's true. Again, it's not exactly. It's not.
Is there an issue with saying that?
Not sure. I don't know. I'm not going to say that.
Should I ask for a shot first?
Sure.
Say cheese and rice.
Okay, so says the Rebbe, V'hinei b'shas shetzar lanu, v'anu sovlim ata be'eis shasarim olim v'yardim. So the Rebbe, again, the Rebbe lives with the Torah in such a real way. So he says, so what Yaakov saw in his dream, Yaakov is Yisrael, Yaakov is the Jewish people. What Yaakov saw in his dream, that there's going to be angelic forces, again, grappling for position on the ladder of life. Right? Yaakov Avinu saw that the angels are olim v'yardim. So he says, in this period of tzar that we're going through, where we're suffering as, again, that the sarim, that the generals, so to speak, are grappling with one another again, the world's at war. Uvechlal me'atzaros. Livaveinu nichna lifnei Hashem v'yirei mimenu yisvarach. Right? And because of, you know, of what we're going through, there's a sense of what? There's a sense of right now we're humbled by this experience. Right? Nichna. Nichna means humbled. We're humbled. Livaveinu nichna lifnei Hashem. Our hearts are humbled. And we're scared. But we need to make sure that it's not just a dibor. We have to try to make it into a ksiva. Tzrichim lachkok es hadvarim b'libeinu shetisha'er ha'achna v'yira milafanov yisvarach. We need to etch it. Lachkok. To etch it. Carve it into our hearts so that it will remain there, that humility, that fear, that awe, that respect, that sense of no one can provide for me other than Hashem will stay with me, right? God willing, even after the tzar is over. Shagam kishiyazur Hashem b'meher alanu mikol tzaraseinu, that when Hashem comes to help us halavai very soon from all of our difficulties, niyem mishubadim elav yisvarach, that we'll continue to be loyal and dedicated to Him, v'navdeu be'emes ba'ava v'yira. Serve Hashem wholeheartedly, with love and with awe. And therefore, the psukim transition from what? Hine Hashem nitzav alav vayomer ani Hashem. Hashem begins the conversation by saying, ani Hashem. But Hashem also gives Yaakov a hope that I hope that v'hine anochi imach. I hope that I'll be anochi by you. I hope I'll not just be a fleeting moment of salvation, but I hope that what? That anochi, the chaf, the ksiva. I hope you'll write, I hope you'll, you know, kasim aluach libecha. You'll write it on the tablets of your hearts. You'll internalize it in a real way. Lachain says the Rebbe, the last two lines, maschila ksiv ani Hashem elokei avicha. Therefore, the pasuk begins by saying ani Hashem. It starts with a conversation. It starts with dibor. It starts with a verbal commitment. But acher kach anochi imach. But afterwards, it says I will be with you with a chaf anochi. Shetishtade lavola anochi. We should strive to get to the level of Anochi with the Chaf, with the Ksivas, right? Not just the Ani. But Kesavis Yehavis, Sheyisha'er Kasuv Bekirbucha, that it should remain within you, Va'az Anochi Imach Tamid, and then I'll be with you constantly. And that's why, of course, at Har Sinai, it's Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's not Ani Hashem Elokecha. It's Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Because at Har Sinai, that was the moment that every Jew, the Medrash actually says it explicitly, based on this piece, I understand it much more now. There's a Medrash in Shir HaShirim that says that at the time that we heard Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, so it was nitka belibam, right? It was taka, it was stuck in our hearts. It got tattooed onto our souls. That's why it's not a command. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is not a command. It doesn't say, I command you to believe in me. It just says, fact. Anochi, I am Hashem, your God. What if I disagree? Hashem says, there's no disagreeing. It's etched into you. You can't erase something that's etched. Words can dissipate. Right? Writing can be erased. Carved, etched, luchos. If it's etched, it can't be erased. So at the moment we heard Anochi, Hashem didn't only write it in us, Hashem etched it into us. Hashem Mamish etched it into us. It's interesting. I wonder, to what degree, again, on a subconscious level, obviously not Pashuk Pshat, but, the whole notion of the Nazis even, like, putting numbers on our bodies, like the writing on us, like, what was that? Etching into us, trying to redefine us as a number. And what's the role of that? What does that mean? What are we supposed to take from that? Yeah.
I think two
things. Opposite of this, in a sense.
Yeah, one, make us feel like animals, because that's what
produces
feeling animals, two animals. And two, like when it's on your body and you're looking at it every day, you start to believe it.
Right. That's right. But the point is, we have to respond by Anochi Hashem Elokecha, by etching Hashem onto us. As I said, Mekubalim are able to look at a person and see the Shem Hashem on the person. Right. To the degree that I've used my body in the right way, so I look, a tzaddik can look at you and see shemos, right? Tzaddikim could, read your forehead and things like that. All sorts of stories of tzaddikim. You could see the Shem Hashem on you. So that's what it means. Kasim aluach libecha. You gotta try to etch it onto us. So that's what it means. Again, And next week's parsha, when the Saro Shal Esav hits Yaakov in the Kaf Yerech, he's trying to take away the Chaf. He's trying to, you know, make him into a superficial Jew. He doesn't want him to be a deep Jew. He wants him to be a superficial Jew. Yeah, talk about Hashem, but don't, like, you know, don't write it down. Don't, like, make it so permanent. But that's the bracha. Hashem says, I'll be with you as ani in this chos avos, but I really want to anochi imach. Yeah.
Also, maybe it's near the bricks, so kind of say, like, break the bricks. Like,
for sure.
It's not real.
That's right. It makes a lot of sense what you're saying, because bris is that sense of permanence also. You can't erase a bris mila. Right? So he's targeting ksiva in the makom mila. It's really the same idiom, that sense of permanence that we have with Hashem. That's right. Very good. Yeah?
In davening, practically, what does it mean when you say Anochi versus Ani?
Again, we have now something to think about when we see Anis and Anochis. We're saying Anochi is much deeper, it's much... Ani, again, going back to Yekusiel's translation, Ani just means I, and anyone could say Ani. Only Hashem could say Anochi. Okay, so Hashem began Har Sinai.
Like, well, like, Ani Hashem, okay,
like, right.
Is Hashem saying,
like, so you have to think about that. You have to think about what that means. I don't know. We have to go through. But now at least you have, the Rebbe's given us a tool to analyze those things. So think about it. All right? Any other comments, thoughts?